Srila Bhakti Sunda Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, he composed 4 pranam mantras for Srila Prabhupada. Because generally, as Srila Guru Maharaj says, the pranams are composed by a qualified disciple. In the beginning, well, what does he mean by a qualified disciple? Because there's so many different, someone may be very sincere, they're qualified, of course. But in this regard, he means like they know Sanskrit, they can compose in Sanskrit properly. This is a little strange. So, Prabhupada's, I can't see if this microphone is it recording properly? Okay. Now this was the most sort of generic, the primal guru mantra. It's Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha, where the disciple is expressing their gratitude to Sri Guru for, in the words of Srila Saraswati Thakur, removing the cataracted eye of ignorance. It says, we know cataracts. If you've seen someone's cataracts, it looks like a blue, sick-looking, bluish cloud over their eyes. Not a beautiful blue cloud. Anemic, an unsightly, visible cloud over their eye. And what is it doing? It's preventing them from seeing properly. Right. So the cataract has to be removed. So Saraswati Thakur used that phrase, the cataracted eye of ignorance. And he compared it to surgical removal, which is very interesting because for various reasons. In the modern world, as Guru Maharaj predicted, that they use lasers. So they're actually using light to remove, which makes it an even more appropriate example. Because Dibya Gyan, Hriday Prakashito, Dibyam Gyanam Yato Dadyat Kuravat Sangsha, Kuravat Sangsha, Sangshayam. Diksha, divine knowledge being imparted from guru to the disciple. I've said sometimes it's comparable to the artist project. What is the artistic project? In a nutshell, it's been said, to give a new way of seeing, right? A new perspective. That's the artist project. Give someone a new way of seeing things, either through literature, art, film, whatever it might be. But here, the same thing is being expressed, but in terms of reality, right? The supreme reality, revealing the supreme reality to that person. Sambandha abhideya prayojan, to understand what is their relationship to what. Understand what the goal is, like in the, and the means to achieve the goal. Like now, with GPS, desire to reach a certain place, a certain destination, then what is necessary? You need to have these 2 calculations there. The desired destination and your current location. Right? And once those 2 coordinates are there, then you say directions. And it will say, from where you are at present, you need to make a left, a right, go straight, and make a U-turn, whatever it might be. And then there's a series, a sequence of steps in the directions to get you to that goal. That is Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan. Right. Sambandha, the prayojan means the goal. It also means the fruit, right? What is to be achieved? Right? Then there's where our position is at present. That we have. If you give a false reading of your present situation, it won't be helpful in achieving the goal. It'll be useless. So some honesty is required. Being candid, honest about one's present position. Which Guru Maharaj once said, when a man said to Saraswati Thakur, so like everything's meant for Krishna and this one, you know, what about us? What's our position? He said, you have no position. So if you're wondering like, what is our present position? You have none. Or Gurudev said it even, and I include myself, in Petersburg. I can't even say what he said, but he made it even more graphic about what we should realize first and then proceed from there. So, but it's basically expressed fundamentally by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, doinyam atmani vedam gopti tve baran. Doinya means like helpless, hopeless, wretched, that a person has to come to the point of realizing, not only can I not help others, I can't even help myself. It's sort of the opposite of modern day humanistic sloganeering, like just trust yourself, believe in yourself, you're number one, you're the best, you're worth it, just do it, you know, you're the God's gift to the world. Oh, I forgot, we don't believe in God. All right, strike that part. You're the best thing that ever, you're number one, you're the best, all of this, lies, 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 all of it lies, and not helpful. Right? What is at the basis of, you know, say Indian thought, but also Oriental, the whole Asian world is what? Humility, right? Which means non-self-assertion, not to assert yourself. Why? Because I rule. How do you rule? You don't rule, right? So it's a humble acknowledgement that there's something greater than myself. If you can't realize that by just like opening your eyes and a glance at the world and everything around you and not come to the conclusion that at least in the most minimal sense, there's something greater than you, then there's something wrong with you, right? Or your estimation of the world, or how you're factoring in everything. So humility really means the perception of the proximity of greatness. Think about that. It means to perceive that you were in the proximity of greatness. That would be it in its most generic sense. But if we deal, then greatness is a general term. What does that mean? All right, the infinite, more specifically, God, divinity, Krishna, right? So the perception of the proximity of greatness, automatically feelings of humility will descend in the heart. Just as when standing on the shore of an ocean, you go, oh my God, the ocean is so vast. And you feel yourself somewhat insignificant. You look at the sky, the stars, either with your naked eye or through the Hubble telescope or some such, and you realize, or you see pictures on the internet of galaxies, a trillion, trillion stars, and the Earth is a small speck, and you have to think from one point of view, how insignificant we are. That's the beginning of spiritual cult, the realizing of the to what degree one is finite. Right. And, as Srila Guru Maharaj says, the first step is accepting the prospect, the possibility that the infinite can make itself known to the finite. That's a beautiful thing to contemplate. People say, oh, you know, we're learning how to meditate in yoga class. Well, meditate on this, the infinite making itself known to the finite. One man challenged Guru Maharaj by saying, if the finite can know the infinite, that's not infinite, right? And from one sense, it's true. What he's saying is, only finite means are at the disposal of the finite, right? We have limited seeing, hearing, limited, what's been called sensory inefficiency. That's why we have a Hubble telescope, because what cannot be seen with the naked eye, we use the lens, the telescope, and then someone said, hey, let's put a telescope in outer space, right? And then we'll get to see more, right? So that's an indirect way of acknowledging the limitation of our senses. So again, Blake, when the doors of perception are cleansed, we will see everything as it is, infinite. What are the doors of perception? But the eyes, ears, nose, etc. Right? It means the senses. They are layered with acquired prejudice and acquired tendency. And in one place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the observation that odd it is that all of these prejudices that we hold near and dear to us based on, gender identity, national identity, historicity, all these things that we think make up an important part of who we are, and all external. And he said that we acquire them without thinking. And that means you're born in a particular place and you're told you're this, that, and the other thing, and here are the parameters of what you can do or can't do where you are. Right. Whatever that country is, whatever the this national identity, gender, all these things, right? And so, without thinking, you just inherit a certain set of sensibilities. Saying, but when it's time to let go, to dispense with even one of these prejudices that we have acquired, we have to think about it. We're losing sleep at night, our palms are sweating, we're hyperventilating. To let go of one of these misconceptions, then it's a big deal. We have to read up, we have to think about it, look at the fine print. But how we got there, it just happened, right? You're just born in the world and told you this, that, the other thing, here's the rules of the game. And we're like, yes, yes. I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl. I'll do as I'm told. I'll think as I'm told. I'll believe I am what you tell me you think I am. That's sad, among many other things. It's minimally sad. So how to get free from that? That's what the spiritual project is, right? That's what meditation is. To overcome acquired prejudice, acquired tendency, and to discover your actual self that's buried under all these layers and layers and layers of misconception. If the doors of perception are cleansed, we'll see everything as it is, infinite. That means God, divinity, right? And really means Krishna. And I don't say that just because you might expect me to say that, right? But here's why it necessarily means Krishna. Who is the God who can be seen, heard, tasted, touched, felt? Like Gurudev would sometimes say in the light waves, and you can play football with Krishna. You can't play football with other gods. Some people say, well, I don't care for football. Okay, well, that's not the only activity, right? But Krishna is the Lord of love and play. And fun, to be a little more specific, like loving exchange. You can't love the sky, right? You cannot love the sky. You can be wowed by the sky. It can induce astonishment, but you can't love, you can't have a loving relationship with the sky, actually. You can't excuse me while I kiss the sky. Well, not really. That's not going to happen. It's a mood, right? So who can you have a reciprocal loving relationship with unless it's someone who possesses the same senses that you possess, But actually, it's more in reverse order. The reason we have these senses is because Krishna has them. Mameva angsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Right? We're the finite, infinitesimal complementary aspects of the infinite. That's Prabhupada. Right? So human divine civilization is the template for human civilization. Krishna jateka kela sarvatam naralela narabhaputara swarup gopa vesh venukar navakishor natabar naralela hoy anurup. Right? Krishna has two arms, two eyes. He doesn't have a thousand. And other expansions he does. Right? Like sahasra shirsha. Right? Because we're more impressed, like, well, what about the goddess who has like 10 arms? She would be higher than the one that only has two, right? That kind of conjecture won't be helpful in trying to understand the infinite. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna reveals his universal form to Arjuna on the Battle of Kurukshetra, showing innumerable avatars, innumerable incarnations, all the universes, all the planets, all history, all time and space. And Arjuna is wowed by that, but somewhat intimidating and besides wonderment and astonishment, fear-inducing. He becomes a little besides himself. And then Krishna realizes, all right, because let me know when you've had enough. Ekang stainastido jagat. This is not... It may be the biggest thing for you. For me, it's nothing, right? To show you all of this. Innumerable universes, innumerable worlds, innumerable avatars, everyone who ever lived, all time and space. That, just let me know when you've had enough of that. And Arjuna, I've had enough. And then Krishna, Taneva Rupena Chaturbhujena, shows his forearm, Vishnu form. And then Arjuna starts calming down. And then at last, it says, his somya rupam, his form of beauty, two-armed, two-eyed, that the human-like form. And he says, Arjuna, this is my most confidential form. Not the thousand arms and the billion face, not that. This one that's human-like, who we can look in each other's eye, we can embrace, we can talk to each other, we can... reveal our minds to one another. We can raise our eyebrows. Right? This is my most confidential form, and this is the form the great saints and liberated souls are ever eager to have a glimpse of since time immemorial and before that. Right? That Krishna. So how to go from here to there? Right? What will be the process? Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. These senses... How will we cleanse the doors of perceptions? But by engaging them in the service of Krishna. Right? How will the cataract's eye of ignorance be removed? But by through the like laser-like surgery of Sri Guru with divine knowledge, one by one removing these layers of misconceptions, till at last we have a glimpse of ourselves. Ascharjabhat pasriti kashtirenam, ascharjam pasriti kashtirenam, etc. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, if you have a glimpse of your actual soul, not your humanistic self, your online avatar, right? Your humanistic-based online avatar that's been photoshopped to the point of you don't even think it's you. See, not that. If you can have a glimpse of your Atma, your actual self, he said, you will be astonished, you will be full of wonder and amazement that such a beautiful self exists. Mukti arhit vanyata rupam swaropena vivastiti. Right? Real liberation doesn't mean just to be liberated from bad things, from the negative side, and to enter the neutral position. Right? Like evacuation, to enter neutral. Right? That's not happiness. May be relief. It's not happiness proper. Right? But is to enter the positive world. Huh? In a form, that eternal form, that's eternally beautiful and full of sensuous possibility, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. Right? An embraceable absolute, the sweet absolute, the playful absolute, the loving, merciful. That is Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reality of the beautiful. So that's the spiritual project, to reveal the ultimate goal and how, from where we are at present, how we can proceed to get there. So in the case of Srila Prabhupada, and what we should understand for those who don't know much about him, if not for him, you wouldn't be sitting here today. How's that for a starting point? No one outside of India, we can say, would know anything about Krishna consciousness if it were not for Prabhupada. No one who is currently the disciple of any guru in life would not have come in connection with that guru if it were not for Prabhupada. That's just a fact, right? And you can Google it and see that it's true. But it's true. You could, or you could believe me, take a shortcut. I'm your shortcut to reality. Just if you just believe what I say, you'll go very quickly. When I speak on these things, doesn't mean you have to believe everything I say, but this you have to believe. I realize it was Srila Sridharmaraj. If I just start accepting what he's saying is true, I'll rapidly go there. But first I have, well, I have to look and see, oh, did Prabhupada say that? Is that, you know, all that. Right? That's not the way to approach Sri Guru. Right? But it's Atma Nivedanam, Atma Samarpanam, to offer oneself. Then very quickly they will achieve there. So how to properly describe Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. I know these glasses are tinted because of the sun, right? But just forgive me while I just read this, because it's very beautiful. So he took that Nama Om Vishnu Padaya pranam, but it had some flaw, a syllable off. And it did not include the name Prabhupada. Right? And so he began by rewriting that and improving, and then in giving three others. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Swami Sri Bhakti Vedanta Prabhupadaya Te Namaha Gurvagyam Shirshi Darjam Dritva Shaktavesha Rupine Hare Krishneti Mantrena Paschatya Prachatarine Vishvacharja Prabhajaya Dibhyakorunya Murte Sri Bhagavata Madhurja Gita Gyana Pradayine Gaura Sri Rupa Siddhanta Saraswati Nishevine Radha Krishna Padamboja Bringaya Guruve Namaha. So, what he's saying, this Gurvagyam Shirshi Darjam Shaktivesha Shrupine. Why did he bring Krishna consciousness, take Krishna consciousness outside of India? We should think about that. And at such an advanced age, right? Because it was the order of his guru. It's that simple. Prabhupada's like, simple and perfect and simple. Right? He says, reading Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse that says, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Krishna is telling, he's saying, what's required if you want to be a successful disciple? Right? So he's saying, it requires what Prabhupada rendered as resolute determination. Right? But in this case, more specifically, he's saying, reading this, he had an epiphany. And what that was he realized, if I'm reading this properly, then my understanding is that the disciples' raison d'etre, reason for being, is to fulfill the order of the guru. He had this clarity, singularity of understanding that My life should be non-different than the order of my guru. My guru's ordered this, then I dedicate my mind, my body, my intelligence to fulfilling that order. That's the path. That's his personal path. And he could advise that to others because he personified, exemplified that. Just wholesale self-sacrifice to the order of guru. Right. So his guru's order, what was the order? He met his guru Saraswati Thakur first in 1922. Right. One of his friends in Kolkata said, oh, there's this sadhu I went to meet. I had enough of these sadhus. No, no, this one's special. You should come and hear him speak. Right? Because not everyone, just because they present themselves as a sadhu or doesn't mean that they're qualified. So he's a little skeptical. He said, no, 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 you come in here. And then he heard Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada speak. And he said he was convinced that here was the qualified person to fulfill the order and prediction of Mahaprabhu, Prithivite Ache Jatanagar Adigram Sarvatra Prachar Huebe Mornam. He said that someday my name will be chanted in every town and village in the world. And so many hundreds of years went by. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur came in the 19th century saying, no, soon it will happen. And even Srila Govindamar said, and when he joined Gaudiya Math, people would talk about what Bhaktivinoda said. He said, no, people will come from all over the world and they'll be chanting Krishna Nam and Gauranga Nam. Really, it will happen. He said, well, we thought it was like in a metaphorical sense or some way like that. But through Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, this was realized. And how? Because his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, asked of him, actually of many of his disciples, if not most, he said, you're all young, educated men. Like they all went to schools that taught through English medium. And he said, so you should take this Krishna consciousness to the Western world, right? And Prabhupada took this as very personal. And it's part of the mystique of guru, that the guru is speaking and Krishna is descending, but the experience people are having is personal. Even though many may be hearing, they may be having a deeply personal experience. Because Prabhupada would say to Guru Maharaj, do you remember when Prabhupada said that? And Guru Maharaj said, he said it so many times in so many places that I didn't know what he was referring to specifically. How, to what degree was he saying this? Guru Maharaj said, there was one man who was a farmer, one of the devotees, like, you know, with a plow, old, you know, two oxen, right, and a plow, like, and they saw him like on a book, like, you know, learn English in your spare time. So he's like studying the book and they go, they're saying like, Prabhu, what are you learning English for? He said, well, Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur says, we're gonna have to go preach, you know, in the Western world and maybe someday I'll be plowing fields in America. That was his idea. A simple-hearted man, you know. But that's what he thought, like, not that he'll, like, he'll go to America with a couple of, get some oxen locally and a plow, and like he'll be plow, you know, planting rice and stuff because this is gonna happen. So, but Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he heard this and took it to heart. First heard it in 22, was initiated in 33. Right? In 44, Saraswati Thakur leaves the world in 36, 37. In 44, 1944, he starts the magazine, Back to Godhead. Sometimes people mistakenly think that Prabhupada started preaching like when he got to America in 1965, 60, like that. They don't understand. He's always preaching. He was preaching when he was 5 years old. like Prahlad Maharaj, gathering kids in the neighborhood to celebrate Rath Yatra. He's always preaching in his household life and his vanaprastha life. So in 44, when he started back to Godhead magazine, so he's preaching then and publishing then. And like we have, a small group of people come, so he's doing that throughout his entire life, like every day of his life. In 1955, he takes sannyas. And he's living in Vrindavan. And as you see, when you visit the Radha Damodar temple, where his room, permanent room was, this little small room, but in the same place of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Krishna's Kaviraj. And his translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And although he was relatively successful in business, but at this point he had nothing. Right? And I've seen firsthand that the paper that he typed his translation on, you know, as his disciples and devotees, we thought like every page is so significant. So front page, then we look on the back page and it would be like, shipping documents I was like trying to understand that, you know. And then until I realized Prabhupada had so little funds available, he was buying used paper. Remember, in India, they haven't thrown anything away, you know, for hundreds of years or thousands of years. So they're the original recycler. So this paper, what would just be trash in the West, you could sell it to somebody, put it on a scale. They have these scales. You put on a stack of used paper and the guy will give you something for it. And that mean, but he knows the other side hasn't been typed on, then he can resell it. This is old style stuff. So that's the paper. He couldn't afford to buy new paper, is my point. So he's buying paper that's already been typed on, and he's going to type on the other side. What's he typing on the other side? The most valuable thing that's ever been typed. Right? You have to have the eyes to see this. Right? Agyana timarandasya gyanandana salakaya chaksur unmilitam jena. To understand this, it requires new eyes, a new way of seeing. That's where he was typing, right? And making these books. And if you saw him in his daily life, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyehu Nabujoy, you might see an elderly sadhu going to the market, buying a cauliflower, some eggplant, tomato, you know, and like going back to his room, and some modern-day so-called devotee might say, like, what's he doing? What's his preaching? How many books did he distribute? Just staying in a room and, you know, taking Krishna Nam? Doesn't he understand Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's order about preaching Krishna consciousness? All these kind of offensive misconceptions that particularly were in vogue, and you know, and I also was one of them. That's how we looked upon everybody who was not us or doing what we were doing. Then you would be mistaken and you would be engaged in Vaishnava Aparad, because maybe that's all you saw, but you would not know what would unfold, what his contribution would be. So we're told to be very careful in how we observe the Vaishnavas, because you might be offensively disregarding a Mahabhagavata, or as he says here, Shaktavesha Swarupine, beyond that, divine empowerment. So Srila Prabhupada, always remembering the order of Saraswati Thakur to take Krishna consciousness, particularly America, English-speaking country, and particularly America, Markine Bhagavata Dharma. We haven't gone there yet, right? And we know the story. Prabhupada, he's trying to arrange free passage. He has no money, right? But he doesn't think like, oh, then what? Nothing can be done. No, he's still, he's approaching the head. He knows this lady who owns a so-called steamship company. They do like cargo freight from India to America. And they have maybe like six cabins on the ship. It's a freight ship, but there are six rooms for passengers. And he's asking her to give him one. That's nothing to her to do that. But she doesn't want to do it because she's thinking he won't survive the journey. It's 30 days at sea. Think about that. Like if we have to spend 30 hours on a train or a flight, we're exhausted or considered hellish. 30 days on a boat. So she really doesn't want to, have the demise of a sadhu on her hands. So she's always making excuses until finally Prabhupada persists and she gives him a room. So he boards this Jaladuta. That's the name of the ship, which means in Bengali, water messenger. And as here, reason Govinda Maharaj included Shaktivej, that comes from Srila Guru Maharaj. Now, it's more or less been universally accepted. But previously, to Srila Sridhar Maharaj revealing this, no one said such a thing. No one, they didn't have the capacity to make, to express it, or to make the observation. Right. But Srila Sridhar Maharaj saying, when he meditated on Srila Prabhupada's journey and how, because we know in Prabhupada's diary, he kept a diary. They give you a little booklet, Sindhya steamship line. And so he kept this diary. And as the boat goes further and further out to sea, he's saying, I'm feeling separation from my worshipable lords. Radha Daladar, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, he starts naming the Goswami's deities. And he said, now I must depend on them exclusively, so far away from Vrindavan. And then he wrote in one place, he said, daily I am relishing the nectarine of Sri Chaitanya Leela, the source of my all vitality. So he's saying, that's how he's nourishing himself beyond the externals, as Kaviraj Goswami advises at the end of Madhya Leela, Krishna Leela Amrita Sar, Tar, Sata Shatadar, etc. You do not subsist on just external food source, but need to internally ingest the nectarine substance of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada attributes his vitality to that. Then, as if it's not enough, right? And he's in his 70s on a 30-day transatlantic journey. You wonder about Krishna Leela and to what degree surrender is required. He has two heart attacks. So that should just finish him. So you think like, but why is he doing this? This is Srila Guru Maharaj's thinking, and that he's in the middle of the ocean in pursuance of the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to spread Krishna consciousness to the Western world. And the heart attacks. So it means he's literally offering himself on the altar of self-sacrifice, right? Desperately. And then what does Guru Maharaj say? Divine power had to come down. I once wrote this, an offering, previously, and some devotee, he said, was very upset, and he said, Krishna doesn't have to do anything. You know, I said, that's right. Aham bhakta paradino, yasvantantra eva dvija, sarubhir bhakta hridayo, bhaktar bhakta janapriya. Krishna said, I declare in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Swarat, I'm independent. I don't have to do anything. But in the presence of devotion, it's as if I lose my independence. Hung bhakta pradhyo, hyasvan tantra eva dvija. It's as if I can't control myself. In the presence, I'm of pure devotion, the heart of my devotee, I give myself, I cannot but give myself to them. So in Guru Maharaj's word, divine power had to come down and work on his behalf, because he'd wholly given himself over, atma sarmarpanam, right? Krishna, given himself completely. So then what did the captain write in his log? That, you know, in his 30 years of sailing, he's never, suddenly the ocean's like a pond. There are no waves. Just the boats going through, like, he said, I've never seen this. There's usually some wave, now it's just turned into a pond, and carrying Prabhupada over to not inconvenience him. And he had a dream where Krishna says, his name previously was Abhai, Abhai Charanaravinda. Right? Abhai means fearless. So we're told in the song, Abhaya Charanaravindare, if you meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna, you become fearless. What are we afraid of? Dying. Mortality. As nice as it might be, you have to die. You have to drop dead one day and leave this place. Leave your body and everything. And maybe as it goes, you see, like, oh, they're burning my body. Ooh. Preferable to being buried. It's harder to let go of a dead corpse than ashes. That's a side point. So Krishna says, Abhai, don't worry. Understand? His name, Abhai, fearless. So he's saying, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I've taken over the ship now. It's moving according to my divine will. And then Prabhupada arrives in New York, first Boston, writes some poems before he even gets off the ship. Because they have to wait a little while and then from New York, Boston, go to New York, and then, what's the word? Disembark. So he writes these two poems, one called Markine Bhagavata Dharma, means preaching in America, basically. Bhagavat, you know. And in that, he quotes some of his favorite slogans from the Bhagavatam, Tada Rajastamo Bhava, Kamaloba Dayasye, etc. And we had the good fortune of being in his presence in 1976 on the anniversary of his arrival in America. And so these poems were being read to him. And when this particular poem is being read to him, he's describing how the populace is overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance, and, you know. And Prabhupada started smiling, like hearing the poem being read back to him, and he said, how could I know I hadn't got off the boat? I mean, you know, Dibya Gyan, divine vision, Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of scripture. And in the end of that poem, he said, like Ramananda says to Mahaprabhu, I'm the instrument, and you're the player. It's like a puppet, and you're pulling the strings. And he's saying, so you must have brought me here for some reason. Very humbly, you must have brought me here for some reason. So, like I'm your puppet, and you're the string puller, he's saying, so if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. Oh Lord, make me dance. Signed, the most insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And that's how he begins. And everything like, this should be enough, right? But then, for 1 year, Prabhupada's going around selling his books to bookstores, doing a little kirtan in the park, this, that, the other thing, and nothing substantial happening. And no one's willing to send financial help from India. So after a year, he's thinking to go back. Like, I tried my best, you know, and have nothing substantial to show for that. So he goes back down to where the steamship liners, and they have a chalkboard where it says, you know, next ship leaving on this date, and if, you know, he'll book passage and go back to India. And seeing that when he comes out, and remember, Prabhupada's in sannyas vesh, and he also used to have these little white shoes that are like from Vrindavan. They're kind of like genie looking, you know. There's no one had shoes like that in America. And so he's there with walking, and this person, Dr. Howard Wheeler, an English professor, later becomes Hare Guru, walks up to him and says, "Are you from India?" And Prabhupada says, "Am I from India? Let me tell you about it. I'm from Goloka Vrindavan." Descended into this plane to tell you about Krishna. So just that's the, there's a name for that point where things start to turn. And he's an editor by profession, you know, he's an English professor. He starts editing Prabhupada's books. He knows Allen Ginsberg, the famous beat poet, and many other people, and introduces Prabhupada to the beat and hippie culture of the day in the Lower East Side of New York, and the rest, as they say, is history. So gradually, the Krishna consciousness movement starts spreading from different cities. He establishes ISKCON Press and later Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And we know, culminating in a, as the Bhagavatam is being produced and Prabhupada doesn't see the books being published, then he decides, well, they're waiting for them to catch up on the publication to finish Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, of which he'd already done six chapters in India, actually. So it's not just like an afterthought. It's most important. You cannot understand the full purport of the Bhagavatam without approaching the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, right? Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas, Brajesha Tanoy, that means Krishna, like today. Rādhya Bhagavān Vrajesha Tanayās Taddhāma Vrindāvanam Rāmyā Kachit Vrajabhidhu Bhargena Jā Kalpita. There's no superior method of worshipping Krishna than, as Guru said, what was invented by the Vrajagopis. Like they invented it, it wasn't there. They did. And Brajabardu Bhargena Jagalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless, pure evidence for this. Right? Srimad, because if you say, well, what these gopi girls did, you mean these teenage girls, gopis, from what they, this is the highest thing? Oh, the Bhagavatam supports it, is the evidence for that. Prema Pumarto Mahan, beyond Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, Prem, love. And what? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ridam, Tatrapi, Napra. And that there's nothing higher than this. This is revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada wanted to publish the Charitamritam, Chaitanya Charitamritam, and challenged Rameshwar Maharaj and his team in Los Angeles to produce, think about this, 17 books in 18 months. That means one 400-page book, fully illustrated, per month. And to his credit, Rameshwar Maharaj and the, they did that. Right, and I had, when the final, that's fine, the first volume came out last because he'd already done those chapters in India and it required different type of editing than the tapes. So when the first book of the 18 was the last to be produced, I was there, got a copy, read it, and was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada in Atlanta, and I was on this party called the Library Party, we were distributing these books to professors and universities. And I met with this one professor, and on the walk I told Prabhupada, I said, you know, they are astonished at your output. You know, it's like, it's like beyond what a human being could do. And Prabhupada immediately deflected the praise, saying, oh no, Jayadvaita is there, and naming Pradyumna and those who are helping him. I said, no, Prabhupada, they know that you have assistance. I said, still, they are amazed at your output and the content and quality of these books. And Prabhupada stopped and he said, they are amazed. I am amazed. It's like such a flood of divine power passing through him, right? And I had some, notes, observations in his writings and songs and about this, and wanted to see what Guru Maharaj thought about it. And I was surprised. He affirmed what I was thinking, and of course, took it to another level. So he's saying, at that point, that is the Shaktivesh empowerment in the ocean, where the heart of things, divine power comes down to work on his behalf. Right. Now, if we may feel some inspiration, but we look for cooperation in different places. Right. So, and Guru said more specifically, Nityananda Prabhu. Because right. I'd read in Prabhupada's purports how he said this, the community that he appeared in, his family, their favorite of Nityananda Prabhu, for generations, this, the Vanik, and Malik Day, this clan, Nityananda Prabhu liked them very much. And once when I was searching for some publishing materials, I was interested in this picture of painting of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and went to the Nityananda Bangsha folks. And, they were... That's another story, but just the point I want to make. They're charming, and their take on why he was successful was that he was initiated by them when he was like 13, like Purohit or Kula Guru, like family guru. So he had, and they're saying, and just see his success, So that's their way of saying, and as Guru Maharaj, who's very generous, like to say, Krishna can reveal many things to many from different points of view, like when he enters the arena of Kansa. So it's okay, we don't have to fight over it. But that's there. How Nityananda Prabhu loved this particular family line and their descendants. And then some hints of Prabhupada in his own writings, where in this other poem, one is Markineya Bhagavata Dharma, preaching Bhagavata Dharma in America, but the other one, Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna, in which he says, Krishna Taba Punya Habibai, E Punya Koribe Jabe, Radha Rani Kushi Habe, Dhruva Ati Bolitoma Tai. It's very peculiar and very sweet appeal to Krishna. It's a prayer to Krishna. He called it, titled that, Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna. And what does he say there? That he's saying that this day, and this is when he's he said, I was feeling so much separation from you that I cried out. And intense separation anxiety, because I miss those days when we're running and playing in the forest, on the banks of the Jamuna and the forest of Vrindavan, and eating lunch together, We're having a picnic on the banks of the Jamuna, and I miss that so much. So I cried out to you today, feeling the pain of that separation. But my guru has given me an order. And this is where you need to factor in Gaudiya Siddhanta in this regard. We regard the guru as the representation of Nityananda Prabhu, or conversely, Radharani's delegation. So here, taking Srila Saraswati Thakur, Sri Barshabhanavi Devi Daita, as the delegation of Srimati Radharani, she is guru, Ujjvala Rasa Acharya. She's the ultimate guru, Kintu Prabhuya Priya. Prabhu Priya, the one who's most dear to Krishna, is guru, and no one is more dear to Krishna than her. So Guru Maharaj interpreting it, saying, so another way of expressing it is to say, he's turning to Krishna, he's feeling intense separation from him, and saying, my dear brother, because that's how he addresses him, Bhai, my dear brother, saying, my guru is Radharani, and Radharani has given me some service to do. But I'm feeling myself unqualified and incapable of performing this service. But I know that you are so qualified and so capable. So if you will help me fulfill the order of my guru, Radharani, help me do the seva that's come to me from her, then she will be so pleased with you, you'll get her association. So he enlisted Krishna in this service. Inconceivable of inconceivable things. And how is he conscripting Krishna? By saying, if you help me do this, then Radharani will be very happy with you and you'll get to be with her. So he made Krishna an offer he couldn't refuse. You'll get the association of Radharani, just help me. So how sweet and how appealing. And lastly, what I want to say is that in the Vishnu Sahasranam, there is a sloka that is we quote to establish the divinity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopinatha Charja, the Sarvabhauma, and so many places. Suvarna Varnahi, Mango, Barangas, Chandanagadi, Sanyasa Krishtama Shanto, Nitya Shanti, Nishta Shanti Parayana. Right? So there it is, Suvarna Varna. So he's talking about Gauranga, and he's golden, Hemanga, and so that we bow to and we accept, and of course, that is so beautiful. But interestingly, and I thought about this for many years, it also applies to Srila Prabhupada. It's kind of saying, Suvarna Varna, that's that line, the Suvarna Varna Vanik who Nityananda Prabhu favors so much, saying, he will come in that line. Hemanga means, and his body, his limbs, they look golden. If you ever saw Srila Prabhupada in person, his skin looked very golden, almost like translucent at times. Extraordinarily golden, radiant was his divine grace. Suvarnavana Hemango Barangas Chandanagadi. And it's saying, and he's always covered in sandalwood pulp, chandan, everywhere. But as you'll see on his head, because when they would make the sandalwood and they rub it in the sun, they put rose water and then grind the sandalwood, and sometimes they put in a little saffron, some camphor, because it's just saying the divine, the current, the voltage of the divine power passing through Srila Prabhupada was so intense, his body would overheat at times. So then they make the chanda and put it all over his forehead, and you'll see a picture, but he has it everywhere actually. On his arms, on his body, on it. But you'll see these pictures like that every day. Barandas Chandanagiri, Sannyasa Krich. Then he will take sannyas. He will leave the house, take sannyas. And what will he do? He will do that to save the world. And Nishta Shanti Parayana, you can say, bring peace and goodwill to everyone everywhere. So the distribution of Krishna consciousness. On his diary, on the boat, there's running heads. You know what running heads are, right? No. Chapter title. So the running head at the top of the diary, you know, it says, send the steamship line. It says, we carry India's message of peace and goodwill. That was their motto. And the name of the ship is Jaladuta. Like Hansaduta means swan messenger, Jaladuta means water messenger. So the messenger comes on this boat carrying, you know, India's message of peace, Nishta Shanti Parayanaha. So in fact, that sloka from the Vishnu Sahasranam is equally, as it is applicable to Mahaprabhu, it is equally applicable to Srila Prabhupada himself. And the last thing I wanted to say, Guru Maharaj once said, you know, when you decide to become a devotee and pursue Krishna consciousness, said, they're not going to hold a parade in your honor, like, you know, in your hometown or something. People are like, oh, we're so happy to hear that you've decided to give up the world and dedicate your life to the culture and promotion of Krishna consciousness. So we just told everyone, we've arranged a little party to celebrate your decision. So Guru Maharaj said, don't expect that. He said, if we examine the life of Prahlad, we'll think, oh my God, what does it mean? You know, be prepared to be, for a life of trouble in different ways from your family. Could be. But in the case, Prabhupada always contradicts the stereotype, makes the impossible possible. So in the last year of his life, he always wants to promote Krishna and Krishna consciousness and Krishna consciousness movement, right? International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Everywhere, Krishna, 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 Krishna. But Krishna wants to promote his devotees, their name, their fame, their glories. That makes Krishna happy. But pure devotees, they don't allow a pinprick through which any remuneration could pass to them. That's the nature of Shuddha Bhakti, of pure devotion. But, so Prabhupada, since his childhood, his pastime is the Rath Yatra. Right? Since he's a child, all throughout his life. Right? And he would ride on Subhadra's chariot. So, and San Francisco was called New Jagannath Puri. There's a beautiful story how the Jagannath deities came to him and all, and annual Rath Yatra and other cities. But this particular year, Prabhupada always he wanted a skyscraper in New York City. Right? Devotees, when they go somewhere, they want to make a Vedic temple. They always say, Vedic temple, Vedic temple, Vedic temple, you know, and now it's going to be a Vedic temple. And, you know, and we like that too. Right. But Prabhupada, you know, go somewhere like try and make a Vedic temple. he said, I want a glass skyscraper that says ISKCON on it. That was his idea. So all, what he'd see in New York, all this beautiful glass building, he said, that's what I want, not a Vedic temple. He'll accept Vedic temple also, but he wanted a glass skyscraper. And he got that. And So this 1976, there's going to be a Rath Yatra in New York. And all the newspaper, the press, the reporters come. And Prabhupada himself is the best PR man for this. So they're all sitting, because they need some kind of like a talking point, right? Money quote, lead. And so he had a way of promoting this. And said, playing to the American ego also. So he said, they're all sitting there with their notes and promises. So America's the most important country in the world. And they all go, yeah, of course. And he said, and New York is the most important city in America. And they're all New Yorkers. Oh, yeah. He said, and in New York City, Fifth Avenue is the most important street. I'm like, yeah. He said, on that street, we are having our Rath Yatra parade and festival. So most important country, most important city, most important street, that's where our festival is going to be. He gave them their talking points, the lead, the money quote. Right? And then we saw with our own eyes on Fifth Avenue, and you see, the street is shut down, all the New York City policemen along the avenue, right? And then here comes the Jagannath, you know, and Subhadra, Balaram, the carts are going, there's Prabhupada sitting on the cart. And now in retrospect, we only think like, so who came on this Jaladuta with, you know, $12 and a trunk of Bhagavatams, mridangas, kartals? That's how he came to America. Right, on a 30-day ocean voyage, right, on a freighter, basically. So he came that way, your most insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. What was Krishna's gift to him? To put him on a chariot in the most important country, most important city, most important street, and parade. It's Jagannath Rath Yatra, but you can't help but notice that what is Krishna on? He's put Prabhupada on a chariot, and it's really a parade celebrating his devotion and his fulfilling the prediction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and that of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. How beautiful is that? Krishna is the Lord of love and affection and reciprocating what was in the heart of his devotee and elevating his devotee to a position equal to his. Tasmai deyam tato grajam sa puja cha yatayaham. Hare Krishna. So his divine grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Avirbhav Maha Mahotsavatiti Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanande. And we'll sing it again. Prabhupada's favorite song. Women have two choices, when vocally speaking. Like, see, if I sing high, it may be too high, because you have to go way higher. But that's not your only choice. And end up singing flat, which is not a good thing. You can go down an octave and sing lower. And women think they can't sing low, but they can. They actually can. They have a choice. They can sing high or go an octave lower and sing. But it's Prabhupada's appearance day, I'm in a good mood. I'm going to try and sing lower. Because I don't know, you know, in India, have you ever heard men singing? It's almost falsetto how high they sing. I'm not singing that high. But I'm going to try and sing in a key that is acceptable to you. And let's hope that I'm successful. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Aha, acceptable. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balava Jaya Giri Bharadari, Jaya Giri Bharadari. Va Jaya Dari. Gopi Jana Balava Jaya Giri Bharadari, Jaya Giri Bharadari. Jaya Giri Bharadari. Yasoda Nandana Jaya Praja Janaranjana, Jaya Praja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Jaya Jamuna Tira Banachari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Jamuna Tira Banachari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Jamuna Tira Banachari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nityai Gaur Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaur Hari Bo. Nitya Gaur Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaur Hari Bo. Sri Nandotsav Mahamahotsav Titi Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Asatera Sada Sri Srimad Shulay Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Avirbhava Mahamahotavati Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Jai Sapatikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju ki jai. Jai Sapatikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Radha Madhava Sundar Ju ki jai. Jai Sapatikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Krishna Balaram Ji ki jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Bharga ki jai. Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Go Bhaktivinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gov Govina Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir ki jai. Navadeep Dham ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat ki jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan ki jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi ki jai. Om Vishnupad Vishvavaranya Svilesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Avirbhav Mahamahotavatiti ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Vrinda ki jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalabhadut Maharaj ki jai. Seva Vrinda ki jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Go Premanande. Hare Krishna.